And Deb back safely from their trip, and glad to see our brother Buzz back. And we had a great time last night in our little supper club, and as we fellowshiped one with another. But this day we are here to hear the word of God, and I am blessed to be up here with my brother Darren. And we know when Darren speaks, he lets God lead him, and he has that love of the Lord, and he. I love to have him up here. He harmonizes with me, and we love to sing praises unto the Lord. We're both singers, and we both love to sing, and we both love have that joy to sing for the Lord. So it's a pleasure to introduce Elder Darren Kroll.
This mine? No.
Oh. My paper.
Oh.
There it is.
Can you hear me? I think you probably heard that mumbling a little bit. Where's my paper? Last second nervousness. Welcome in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I was really searching for a title. It hadn't come to me yet until that last song. And I believe that's the title of my sermon, Live Closer to Jesus. And I'm going to start out by reading a scripture that our brother Ammon left. Actually, yeah, our brother Ben asked us to read Philippians 3:9 at the end of our Sunday school class. And I just want to tell you that title, Live Closer to Jesus, that kind of is the umbrella around all the information you'll receive today. I think it's the goal. It's what we want to do. Live closer to Jesus. Okay, so Philippians 3:9. I'm going to read 8 and 9. Yea, doubtless, and I, yea, oh. Well, how do I get us into this? Let's start at 3:1. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things unto you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Well, no. I just want to read 9. I'm going to go back We're going to go back and just read 9. And be found in him, and that's talking about Jesus Christ. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And we also read this, our brother Ammon read this in our Sunday school class, and it's the beginning of what God led me to read and preach out of today. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And it gives this example that that he would be the father of, God said he would be the father of nations, and he believed him, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now I want to go down to verse 16. Therefore it is of faith. Abraham had faith in God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Okay. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So what this is telling us is this grace is available not only to the house of Israel, those that were of the law, but it is now, because of Christ, available to all of us. Verse 17. And it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed. So now this is a continuation of the last verse. So it said, Abraham, who is a father of us all, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So this is saying that Abraham's faith was in God. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. I love that verse. When I have had my worst struggle in my life, I didn't realize I was remembering this verse, but it came to me, when I have no hope, my hope is in Christ. And I know now that thought that came to me was based on this verse. Who against hope believed in hope. When you're hopeless, when you're in a situation that is hopeless, and the world has counted you for dead, you have hope in Christ. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't doubt the promise of God. He had faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also to perform. When God promises, he will perform it. We should believe in him. And therefore, it was imputed to him. That word imputed means accounted to, given, when you didn't earn it. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. That's why he died. He died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. He was made alive again for our righteousness. And now we can live in righteousness. That righteousness is imputed to us through faith. We are given that righteousness. He cleanses us through faith on his name, through faith in everything Christ did. And so verse five, chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All of this hope is because of Christ. All of this ability, this righteousness that we can have is because of Christ. This grace, this love of God, this favor of God, we have because of Christ. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. When we have trials and struggles, and instead of giving into the temptation and cursing and getting angry, but we turn to him and recognize he is our hope, that gives us patience. He gives us peace. And it allows us to have patience. And through these trials and God working that patience in us, it says in verse 4, and patience, experience. Or in other words, patience works experience. That patience over and over when we have these trials give us experience, knowledge that what God says he will do, he will do. And experience hope. These experiences over and over, and that knowledge that his word is true over and over, work hope within us of that goal or of that salvation. Of that freedom. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And that's the fruit. That's the work of God in our life, his workmanship in us. That verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is the life of a Christian. And it happens by living closer to Jesus. That's the fruit we want. We want to be able to live by patience, by the love of God in us. We want to that love to shed to the world through our life. I'm just going to ask that you stop and say a prayer for me. I want to be able to preach this, what God wants me to preach, by his power, according to his will. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And that's when we come to him, recognize our weakness, I love that. I'm just going to turn to it, and I read this often, I know, but I just love it so much. Ether, chapter 5. Verse 28 and 29 on page 748 in the Book of Mormon. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will shew unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will shew unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. The fruit is the fountain of all righteousness. It comes by that faith in Christ, that hope in him, and that charity, his pure love. And he will make those weak things strong. And so this verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what a great love he has for us. And you know, there are times in my life when I catch myself in my natural state and I see somebody doing something awful, and I just, in my heart, look at them with disgust. And this is a reminder, that's not the love of Christ. The love of Christ sees, his love is toward us, that in while we are yet sinners. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall now be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The joy is the fruit of his love in us. I'm going to turn now to 2nd Book of Nephi, chapter 6. Beginning in verse 44. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. And he cometh into the world that he may save all men. And if they will hearken unto his voice, for behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children. Here he's defining who he's talking about when he says men. He's talking about human, all humankind. Men, women, and children, which belong to the family of Adam. He wants to save us all. And he suffered that he might save us. And he suffered this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, and that all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. There it is again, that Righteousness is imputed to us by faith in Christ. Alma chapter 16, verses 144 through 146. Alma 16, verses 144 through 146. So not only does God seek to save men, women, and children, but he wants to use us too. He wants to use each of us. Alma 16:144. And now, behold, I say unto you that I would that ye should remember that God is merciful unto all who believe on his name. Therefore he desireth in the first place that ye should believe, yea, even on his word. And now he imparteth his word by angels unto men, yea, not only men, but women also. Now this is not all. Little children do have words given unto them many times, which doth confound the wise and the learned. If God has imparted his word to us, given it to us, if it's through his written word, or he speaks to us through an angel or through the Holy Ghost, we should not be mute. We should share that with others. I know that tonight you will have a study on women of the Bible, and I have a modern day example of a young woman, Huayllque, Mexico, who was visited by an angel and shared it, the message, with others. This testimony and experience was of Lady Uliwak of Huayllque, Yucatan. And Lady is her first name, spelled L-E-Y-D-I, which occurred in March and April of 2008, translated by Alvin J. Moser from a handwritten copy delivered to him from Placido Matu. My testimony began the month of March of the year 2008. One day, Saturday, I woke up early and went as usual to the city of Merida. I arrived there and proceeded to the bus stop, which I board to go to my job. Before I crossed the street, there was a stop sign. I stopped to wait before entering the street. Suddenly, I felt that someone touched my shoulder. When I turned around to see, I realized that this was a man I did not know and had never seen before. He told me not to cross the street and to go another way. I asked him, "Why can I not go across the street?" He continued to say, "You must not cross here." Suddenly, I was aware that he had gone, and I could not find him anywhere. Then I took the way he indicated I should go, even though I did not understand why. The afternoon of this same day, when I left my job and arrived again in downtown Merida, I entered a store to make some purchases, and upon leaving, I met him again, waiting for me. He greeted me by name. Surprised, I asked him how he knew my name, and who was he? He only responded by saying, "Hello." Then he walked closer and shook my hand, saying, "It is a pleasure to see you again. How are you?" He asked me about my brother Carlos and said, "How is he?" I said, "He is well, thanks to God." He then said, that makes me happy. He told me to say to my brother Carlos that he should always be faithful because God will never leave him alone. I answered, yes, we know that God is with us always. Then he asked about my family, and with a smile, he asked, do you believe in God? I responded, yes, I believe in God. He then said he had a message for me, that many things will happen in my life, but I must be strong and trust in God alone, because God will always be with me, and he will never leave me alone. In spite of everything, I must smile, and I must not be unhappy. He said he would see me again, not to forget to tell Carlos that the things he had told me. I must tell Carlos to trust in God. And to me, again, he said, one must always smile. I asked him what will happen to me and will I see him again? He said that he was not permitted to tell me, but we will meet again. He then said goodbye with a smile and began to walk away. At that time, I did not notice, but I became aware of something very important. I was not afraid of him, nor afraid to talk to him, even though I did not know him. I also was aware that when talking to him, all movement around me was silenced. I only heard his voice until he left, and I was again aware of the noise around me. All this day was the first time I saw him. 2 weeks had nearly passed, and many things began to happen in my life, to my family. My brother was in poor health. We had some problems, but our trust was in God. I remembered the message that he gave about that which would come to pass in my life, and that I must trust in God, and we must always smile. On Wednesday morning, I got on the bus to go to work. Arriving there, I must exit the bus. I requested the driver to stop. When I got off, the man I had seen 2 weeks earlier was there waiting. He greeted me and said, why are you unhappy? Do you remember I told you you must smile and trust in God? He has not abandoned you. That evening, we had a prayer and testimony service in Wildcat Church. At that time, many brothers and sisters were discouraged. That night, there were only 5 people in the service. I felt a great sadness because we were so few serving God. We began the service with a prayer. While praying, I felt unhappiness inside me during the prayer. I began to cry in my prayer, asking God for strength to continue and that he would help those brothers and sisters to be here to serve him. Suddenly, I had a vision. I saw a young child of about 3 years of age, dressed in white, blonde hair that shined like the gold, and blue eyes that came close to me where I was kneeling. He looked at me with a beautiful smile, then touched my head and said to me, do not cry. Do not cry. He went to the center of the chapel, looked all around at the empty chairs, then looked at me again, smiled, and then left. The vision ended, and I was aware that the prayer continued. When the prayer ended, I soon stood to my feet and told my testimony to the brethren that were there. I said they should have faith and trust because God, he would not abandon us, and he would lift up the church. On Thursday, I arrived at work where my aunt works too. We work at the same house in Merida. I was working, washing some things that the lady of the house asked me to. It was 1:10 p.m. when I remembered that I must take care of some clothes in another room. On the way, I passed through a hallway, and lifting up my eyes, I met the man I had seen earlier. The door was locked. He was in the house where I worked. The door was locked. I asked him how he got in when it occurred to me that he was an angel of God. He looked at me with a smile, and I asked him, "Is it true that you are an angel of God?" He just smiled and asked, "Do you believe in the Book of Mormon?" I answered, "Yes. Yes, I believe it." He responded, "You are blessed because you believe it. God loves you." I asked him, "What is your name?" He answered, "Don't ask many questions. God has something prepared for the church and your family." He then reminded me of a dream I had where I saw that the end of the world had arrived, and those that had their name in the Book of Life would be saved. He told me all the dream and told me the dream was a message, but many have not understood, he said. I must always remember it and speak of it. He began to give me counsels for my personal life and for my family. We must struggle and trust in God. We must prepare. That word struggle, Brother Jay mentions at the end of this letter, the word that is used in Spanish is luchar, which means to fight. So it means we're fighting a battle. So we must fight the battle and trust in God. We must prepare more, and God will never leave us. We must never cease to smile, and very soon, we must never cease to smile, and very soon we will see each other again. I asked him when. He said, "I do not know, but we will see. And don't forget to go to church tomorrow, to the church to fast." I responded, "I will not forget. I will go." When I blinked, I could not find him. I was happy because I knew that it was something from the Lord. I was waiting to go to the church alone on Friday, as he told me previously. The next day, which was Friday of the same week, I awoke early and went to the church to fast and pray, as he had asked. It was 7 a.m. and I began to pray. Later, I sang hymns number 118 and then 177 in our Spanish hymn book. I followed with prayer again to God. At about 10 a.m., when I was about to finish my fast, I knelt in prayer. When finished praying, I opened my eyes, and he was beside me, and I was surprised. And he said, smiling, "How good that you came." I responded, "Yes, I had to come." He told me, "This church is very blessed by God in the unity you have, but you need more and more humility because the end is near." He said, "Look at the other churches making a great effort. But it is vain because they do not have the truth, the fullness of the gospel. You all, yes, have the truth." After this, he told me, "This Saturday, I want you to give your testimony that you have seen me." He asked me not to describe him and never say what he looked like. Many will ask, but do not tell. So that only you know. This is a blessing from the love of God, he told me. Tell the brethren that this is what they are hoping for. They need much. Yes, they are reading that the end is near. Ask them and tell them to prepare because the coming of God is near. Like you have seen in your dream, many shall remain. Some believe you, but others do not. Everyone that asks you, tell them, never forget. Tell your children and your grandchildren, he repeated. Never forget. He told me the devil will try to destroy you, but God will always protect you and will be with you and your family, but never forget to smile. I asked him, will I see you again? He responded, today will be the last time that you will see me, but I will always be present if you never forget God. He told me, give this testimony in the service of April 6th. They have a big service on April 6th there. I will be here with you and thank you for coming. When you go home, do not tell your parents that today you saw me again. Wait till tomorrow to give your testimony. He then said goodbye to me and told me, always smile. When I blinked, he disappeared. I ended my fast and went to my house. The next day in the evening, which was Saturday, I gave my testimony to every one of the brothers and sisters. I know that many believed and some did not. But God fulfilled his promise because the empty seats are now occupied. New families have come, and many of those that separated themselves have returned. In reality, the church in YLK is very blessed and united, serving God. He who will never leave us, never will I cease to be thankful for the blessing of God in my life for this promise and experience which he gave me. One must always smile, because we know a true God that never will abandon us. We must struggle or fight because the end is near. May God bless you. Thank you. This testimony, she is the daughter of the pastor of YLK. And not long before this experience of hers, he had an experience where he was told to build onto the church. And he told the missionaries. And the missionaries were rather perplexed because there were very few people coming to church. Yet he was told by God to build onto the church. And they went ahead and obeyed the voice of God, built onto the church when there were very few people coming to the church. And now today, the church is overflowing. And many times they don't have enough seats for the people coming. But this is because this young lady gave herself to her service to God. She believed his word. She trusted him. She prayed to him. She cried out to him. She humbled herself. She obeyed what God told the angel to tell her, and she told the people. And much of the increase in the amount of people of the body of Christ at that local occurred because she obeyed God. I'm going to turn to Moroni chapter 7. Beginning in verse 18. Wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye might know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. We find those every good thing in his word. And now, my brethren, how is it possible that you can lay a hold on every good thing? And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak. And I will tell you that the way whereby ye might lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God knoweth all things, being from everlasting to everlasting. Behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. And in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto prophets of his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were diverse ways that he did manifest unto the children of men which were good, and all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels and by every word which proceeded forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith they did lay hold on every good thing. So that's how we lay hold on everything good thing, is by reading the word of God, reading about Christ and having faith in him. And thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name, they becoming the sons of God. And assuredly, as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, having in faith, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. In our walk, in the struggles, in our trials, the lady was talking about, the struggles we have in our families, whatever trials, the sicknesses we have, ask God for those things that are good. And he knows how to give good gifts to us. In faith, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because that Christ hath ascended into heaven, and hath sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men. Have miracles ceased? No. And our sister lady's testimony is an example of it. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those who have faith in him, that they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. And of course, the angel visited our sister lady. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, shewing themselves unto them of strong faith. She must have been given that gift of strong faith. And a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance, and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, and prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. Remember how we read earlier that God gives us his word unto men, women, and children? And this tells us why. That they may bear testimony of him. That's why he gives us his word. So don't be moot. Don't be silent. And by doing so, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue, everyone else, of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men, And Christ hath said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. In other words, as we read earlier, if he's able to fulfill his promises. And he hath said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. I am going to end with one more verse. John chapter 14, verse 12. And this is another promise of God. And he is able to fulfill it. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, being Christ, the work that I shall do, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. What a great promise. That he is able to fulfill because of Christ in us. God bless you all, that you be of service to him as he has called you to be, as he gives you power to be through faith on his Son.
Thank you, Brother Darren.
Thank you.
Thank you for those words and, you know, his title, Live Closer to Jesus. Are we living